Okay, so my name is Łukasz Towarek. I'm a technical leader at Intel, and today's talk is about AI-based failure aggregation. So in our CI pipelines, we often see hundreds of test failures every day, and most of them are like very similar, but not exactly the same. Because of these minor differences, our engineers had to like spend time to manually analyze these failures repeatedly, like over and over again. And today I will show you how we reduce the overall noise in the CI system with text embeddings. Let's start with a quick and a high level overview of the original workflow that we used. So we had on the left hand side regular CI/CD pipelines that like build components and run tests. Then we have a monitoring system that automatically gets the test results from the CI/CD pipeline, performs some initial analysis, and then reports the test failures to an engineer. The engineer have to make a decision whether to update existing bug report with a new instance of a given failure, or treat it as a completely new bug, create a new bug report, and if needed, also start a regression isolation that will try to find the faulty commit and revert it. Now let's talk about the scale, which is quite important in this solution. So on the x-axis, you have a number of tests, on the y-axis, the percentage of failures. So from the scale perspective, if you have like low level of failures, then you are in a happy place. Often you don't need some complicated system or process to handle these failures. If you have a relatively low number of tests and a high percentage of failures, this is still manageable. With some semi-automatic way, you can handle all of the failures. However, in our case, we had hundreds of thousands of test cases executed each day, and hundreds of test failures that needed to be analyzed every day by engineers. So this did not scale, and we needed to find something better. So this is an overview of the desired workflow that we try to implement. As you can see, most of the elements of the diagram are exactly the same with one major change. The engineer or the human in the loop was removed from the like critical path. So we tried to create a system that will automatically get the test results and by itself make a decision whether to update the bug or create a new one and start the regression isolation. The only interaction with the engineer was to send a summary report for a verification. So in short, our goal was to create a fully automated agent. The main problem that we faced was how to determine if a failure is a new issue or an already reported one. So here are a few potential solutions that we considered. So the first one, the most basic one, is to simply have no aggregation at all. So each test failure is a new bug report, but we simply like move the issue from the test reporting side to a bug management side. So we have a lot of duplicates and also a risk of a waste of resources as we unnecessarily start the regression isolation process. Then we could go like one step further and try to aggregate the failures per test case. So if we have exactly the same test case that is failing over multiple builds, then we simply can try to treat them as a one bug report. However, we still can have duplicates because the same bug can affect multiple test cases and we'll still have like noise in the system. Another issue with this approach is so-called nested regressions. So we have exactly the same test case that on one build is failing due to some numerical errors, and on another build started to fail due to like segmentation fault. With this naive approach, we will not detect this, and we will treat still these two issues as a one bug. Next, we could also try to do a direct logs comparison. So simply get that error messages from test failures, try to normalize them, so like remove time stamps, memory addresses or anything like that that changes from build to build but didn't change the error signature. However, these text operations are highly like complex and rule-based, so we will need to like maintain this over and over again. Another option is new machine learning model. However, with this, the basic approach doesn't scale and is really time-consuming and error-prone, mostly due to the need to prepare a data set. Yeah? We can't go with like few hundreds of examples. We will need few thousands, and we will need to label this data, which is quite expensive. Of course, there's another way. Now let me introduce three main concepts that are essential to our solution. First one is text embedding. So what is even a text embedding? It's simply a numerical vector in a multidimensional space that represents a meaning of a sentence. So if we convert the like sentences into vectors, then vectors that are close to each other should represent a similar meaning. So the like words in the sentence can be different, but the meaning will be treated as the same. Then we have a vector similarity search. So if we have these vectors, then we need a way to decide how similar they are. To do this, we use the standard way, which is a cosine similarity metric, which is simply a cosine of an angle between two vectors. So if cosine similarity is near one, then we treat such vectors as highly related. And if the cosine similarity is near zero, then we treat them as unrelated. Finally, the Bayesian coder architecture. Here we have an example of a training stage of such architecture and the model. So we have an input sentence A that we pass to the encoder model. In most cases, this is some like AI model like BERT or anything like that, that will create an embedding. And then we repeat this process with another sentence that we want to compare with. We go over the same encoder module, generate another embedding, and then based on the cosine similarity, we decide whether these embeddings are similar or not. With a value of cosine similarity, we can then compare them with the reference data in our like validation data set and update the weights of the encoder, or in other terms, send a positive feedback to the encoder if the embedding was good and like we get expected value, the cosine similarity, or send a negative feedback if the like embeddings are far off of the reference value. That's the like theory part. Now let's go to the implementation. So first we use the sentence transformers package that is available on the PyPy. It is written in Python. As you can see, with one line of code, we can load the already pre-trained model that is available online. Then we can create some example sentences that we will work on. And finally, we can simply call the model that encode with input sentences, and in such case we will get three embeddings because we had like three input sentences, each embedding with 384 dimensions, which is related to the model that we used at the beginning. Then we have some utility functions from the sentence transformers package. In that case, we have like similarity that we can call with the embeddings, and we will get the cosine similarity between these vectors in a tensor object. If you are not using the Python ecosystem, then I really recommend the Hugging Faces text embedding inference project, which has some pre-built Docker images with like CPU support, with GPU support, and it can also be easily deployed on the Kubernetes clusters. In such case, we can easily scale the solution, so the server can serve a given model and accept multiple requests at the same time. In this case, we have a web interface, so we simply send a web request to the server with an input sentence that we want to embed, and as an output, we will get the embedding vector. Then the question is, which model should I use? So here comes the MTAB leaderboard that is available online. Here are some like examples from the leaderboard and a few essential parameters that you need to take care of. So the first one is memory usage. So as you can see, the first model uses around like 44 gigabytes of memory. So to run this, you need a really powerful GPU or even multiple GPUs. On the other hand, the last example is the one from the sentence transformers example, and it uses only like 100 megabytes of memory, and you can easily run it on CPU. Then we have embedding dimensions. So more dimensions in theory leads to a better like accuracy. However, it's a cost of storage that is required to store these vectors. Finally, we have a max tokens parameter, which represents the length of a text that we can embed in a single go when we call the model. So if we have like large text input, but the model can't handle it, then it will, in most cases, truncate it to the like number of tokens that it supports. We have text embeddings, we have a way to compare them, then we need a way to store them. In such case, we use the PG vector extension to PostgreSQL. With this extension, we have a new column type for vectors. So, of course, we can insert the vectors to the database alongside any other standard data that is available in Postgres. And then we have few dedicated operators that allows us to query the database to retrieve vectors that are related to each other. Here we have like overall overview of the workflow that we prepared. So this is we have a Python orchestrator that automatically gets the logs from Jenkins that runs the tests. Then we have we are extracting failures from the error signatures from the logs from the Jenkins. We pass it to the Hugging Faces text embedding inference instance to get the embeddings. With such embedding, we are going to PostgreSQL to get the information whether we already have seen similar error in the database. If that's the case, then we automatically create bug report and also automatically start the git bisect and git revert workflow to revert the faulty commit from the system. Of course, if we have an embedding that already exists in the database, then we only update the bug report in the database. As always, there is a room for improvements. So here are a few recommendations from our side. First is to analyze more logs. So there are two cases. The first one is simply the case when you have really long error messages that you want to embed. As I said previously, the default option is to truncate this log file. And by default, most of the services will truncate it from the beginning. From our experience, in most cases, the error messages and the like real error signature is available at the end of the logs. So the like basic option is to simply truncate from the bottom of the log file, and then you will get like better output. Another option, if you have resources, is to simply use a bigger model with more max tokens parameter that will handle your example. Then there is an option of multiple log files. So for example, you have error messages from your testing framework, and then you have some like log files from, let's say, web server that is tested, and you would like to aggregate the failures based on these two like input streams. So the basic option is to simply get these two logs, merge them into one file, and embed everything as a one vector. Another option, if the logs are too big, then you can try to use an LLM or any other option that will try to select more important log. So if, for example, we have some segmentation faults, then maybe we don't need to like analyze some basic log files and go straight to like some system core files or anything like that. Another option is to embed only error signatures. So if you have like few thousands of lines in the log files and the error signatures are only like taking, I don't know, like 20 lines or anything like that, then also with the help of LLM or any other such solution, you could try to extract the error signature and then embed only this signature instead of a whole log file. Then we have fine-tuning. So by default, the models that are pre-trained are like pre-trained on like a lot big data sets that are like generic and general in all. So we found out that there are some issues with domain-specific patterns. So for example, we had a test that compared to vectors and reported the percentage of incorrect values. And for example, if we had like in the same test case 2% of difference, and then we had another run on another build that resulted in 80% of difference, by default it was treated as the same error message, and it was aggregated because like LLM didn't know that such issues should be treated as separate ones. In such case, we can create a small data set that will like optimize the behavior of the encoder module that will force him to separate these domain-specific patterns. Finally, over the talk, I presented you the failure aggregation part, which focuses on linking the failures that look the same. So we have the same error message. There is also an option for failure correlation, and by that I mean to link failures that look different, however have the same root cause. So if we have some unit or integration test that we know from the like statistical data that will in most cases fail together with some end-to-end test, then we can automatically try to also correlate these failures and present it as a one in a one view for further processing. So to sum up, with text embedding for failure aggregation, you can improve efficiency of your process by minimizing noise. And I really encourage you to give it a try. as the entry barrier is really, really low. All of the packages are open source. There are pre-trained models available online, and you can start running them even on a CPU. So the key takeaway is that text embeddings is a low effort way to turn CI noise into signal. Thank you. Now I'm open for questions.
Yeah, we have 5 minutes for questions.
So have you benchmarked this against other logging reporting tools like Sentry that do things similarly? Like Sentry has aggregation and correlation as well for issues that you have there.
So yeah, we didn't benchmark it, but like the main issue is the scale, yeah? So we've like hundreds of failures or like thousands of failures, yeah? We didn't want to like go like with this option, having the infrastructure that we already have at Intel, yeah? Yeah, so the question is about the false positives and negatives. So we measured the recall, as I remember. So we wanted to have like no false positives. Yeah? We wanted to have like multiple bug reports instead of one that correlated or aggregated the wrong issue with itself. And on our like testing data set, we had like 98%. So it was really, really like good from the get-go. Yeah, we didn't have to like optimize it too much.
Okay, we did have some questions here in the middle. Other questions, please. Have you tested out tested stability? So if you have runtime errors in the code, then sometimes.
So the question is about the stability of the tests and how they are aggregated, yeah? So in such case, we are not aggregating over the like single build run. We are aggregating across the like multiple builds. So if you have sporadic failures that are like occurring once a week or something like that, this solution will automatically detect them, yeah, because we already have them in a database. Yeah.
For the last question.
Basically, yeah, we get by a second convert. Have you done anything to determine if there should be updates to the test to stop
those situations? Yes. So question is about the git bisect and whether we try to automatically detect whether we should update the test or fix the solution. So now we haven't done it. There were some work where we get the commits that could introduce the regression from multiple components and then try to use an LLM to ask him a question which from these commits is most highly related to the fail that we see in the system. Yeah, so there were some work, but it was not part of the solution.
So I think this is it. Thank you.
Thanks.